Welcome, everybody, to the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. This is Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang saying welcome one, welcome all to the Wednesday night Bible study and the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. As we get rolling out here tonight, first we're going to open with a word of prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord Jesus, we want to thank you again for another day. In you, we have another way, Lord Jesus. We ask you, Lord, right now that you would touch that soul who is nearest hell. Help them to reel up the white flag surrender, saying, I yield, Lord Jesus, knowing that your word said, if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and believe in thine heart that God has raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. So let this day be their day. Let them get in contact with us so we can rejoice with them in their newfound joy, Lord Jesus. And then for the team of the Six Eyes Radio Network, we ask a special blessing, do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you, whether mental, spiritual, physical, or financial, Lord Jesus. And then for your children, we ask the same blessing and do pray, Lord Jesus, so they could keep on keeping on for you. And then, Lord Jesus, for those dealing with COVID-19, first of all, the family and friends who've lost someone due to COVID-19, we ask you, Lord Jesus, you to touch and comfort them as only you can through your Holy Spirit, Lord Jesus. And then for those dealing with COVID-19, as we speak, Lord Jesus, we ask you to raise them up out of the bed of affliction as only you can, Lord Jesus. And then finally, Lord Jesus, for situations like George Floyd and many other wicked situations just like that we read about in the newspaper, hear about on the news, on the television or radio set, Lord Jesus, we ask you to help us to love our neighbors as ourselves. In so doing, we'd be loving the omnipresent neighbor who is you, Lord Jesus. Now we ask and pray all this in your mighty and precious name. Amen and amen. All right, so now we're going to get ready to roll out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org. Wanting to say to those who called 424-243-9617, again, 424-243-9617, press the number one, join the conversation. You can ask your questions, give your comments, your prayer praise, prayer requests, or any of those kind of things. We'd be glad to hear from you as we get rolling out here with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at Holiness, H-O-L-Y-N-E-S-S, Bibles, plural, for, F-O-R, theblind.org on the Wednesday night Bible study here at the Six Eyes Radio Network. All right, and Sister Ruth, who do we got with us tonight?
Father, Son, Holy Ghost, Band of Angels, you and Brother Jim, and welcome, Jim.
All right, and so we're just going to take a few prayer requests here tonight. What do you got for us?
Well, you can pray for me and pray for Jim. He's in a place that he needs prayer, and pray for you and pray for Emily and everybody else.
And, of course, we know Emily's prayer request for all our first responders, nursing home, and people in the hospitals that take care of the folks, and my prayer request for our police forces and those in authority. And so we will now get ready to get on with the Six Eyes Gospel Bus and some good boogie music tonight as we hoe down for Jesus. Amen.
I heard an old, old story, how a Savior came from glory, how he gave his life on Calvary to save a wretch like me. I heard about his groaning, of his precious blood atoning. Then I repented of my sin and wonder
Take a pill and then a drink.
During the Vietnam conflict, a bunch of soldiers had been on a long hike. They arrived in a town called Saigon. And the next day, being Sunday, several of the boys went to church. After the chaplain read the prayer, the text was taken up. Those of the boys who had prayer books took them out. But one boy had only a deck of cards, so he spread them out. The sergeant in charge of the boys saw the cards and said, "Soldier, put away those cards." And after the service was over, the soldier was taken prisoner and brought before the provost marshal. The marshal said, "Sergeant, why have you brought this man here?" "For playing cards in church, sir." "And what have you to say for yourself, son?" "Much, sir," the soldier replied. The marshal said, "I hope so, for if not, I shall punish you severely." "You see, sir, I've been on the march for 6 days, and I had neither Bible nor prayer book. But I hope to satisfy you, sir, with the purity of my intentions. You see, sir, when I look at the ace, it reminds me there is but one God. And when I see the deuce, it reminds me that the Bible is divided into two parts, the Old and the New Testaments. And when I see the tray, I think of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. And when I see the four, I think of the four evangelists who preached the gospel. They were Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. And when I see the five, it reminds me of the five wise virgins who trimmed their lamps. There was 10 of them. Five were wise and were saved. Five were foolish and were shut out. And when I see the six, it reminds me that in 6 days God made this great heaven and earth. And when I see the seven, it reminds me that on the seventh day God rested. And when I see the eight, I think of the eight righteous persons God saved when he destroyed this earth. There was Noah, his wife, their three sons, and their wives. And when I see the nine, I think of the lepers our Savior cleansed, and nine of the ten didn't even thank him. And when I see the king, it reminds me once again, there is but one king of heaven, God Almighty. And when I see the queen, I think of the Blessed Virgin Mary, who is queen of heaven. And the jack, her name is the devil. And when I count the number of spots on a deck of cards, I find 365, the number of days in a year. There are 52 cards, the number of weeks in a year. There are 13 tricks, the number of weeks in a quarter. There are 4 suits, the number of weeks in a month. There's 12 picture cards, the number of months in a year. So you see, sir, my deck of cards served me as a Bible, almanac, and prayer book. And friends, this story is true because my son was that soldier.
I was walking in Savannah, past the church, decayed and dim,
when slowly through the window came a plaintive funeral hymn. And my sympathy awakened, and the wonder quickly grew, till I found myself inspired in a little country church pew. Out front, a young couple sat in sorrow nearly wild. On the altar was a casket, and in the casket was a child. I could picture him while living, curly hair and smiling lips. Oh, I'd seen perhaps a thousand in my hurried business trips. Then rose a sad old country preacher from his little wooden desk, with a manner sort of awkward and countenance grotesque. And he said, "Now, don't be weeping for this pretty bit of clay, for the little boy who lived there has gone and run away. He was doing very finely, and he appreciated your love. But our Heavenly Father wanted him in the big house up above. Now, the Lord didn't give you that baby, not by no 100,000 miles. He just thought you needed sunshine, and he lent him for a while. And he let you keep him and love him until your hearts were bigger grown. And these silver tears that you're shedding now are just interest on the loan. Just think, my poor dear mourners creeping along on life's sorrow way. What a blessed picnic this your baby has today. Oh, your good fathers and good mothers crowd the little fella around in the angel's kindergarten in the big plantation ground. And his eyes, they brightly sparkle at the pretty things he views. But a tear came and he whispered, I want my mom and daddy too. But then the angel's chief musician, he teaches that little boy a song that says if only they be faithful, they'll soon be coming along. So my poor dejected mourners, let your hearts with Jesus rest. And don't go criticizing the one what know the best. He hath given us many comforts, and he's got the right to take away. To the Lord be praise and glory, now forever. Let us pray.
If you'd like to get in contact with us here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, there are three email addresses you may use to get in contact with us. First of all, if you wish to get in contact with me, Mr. Kenneth Wolfgang, about any kind of Bible questions that you may have or regarding the programming here or complaints about programming, you may contact me at feelandtouchking@gmail.com. That's feel like you do with your fingertips, F-E-E-L, letter N as Nancy, touch like you do with your fingertips, T-O-U-C-H, king like the guy who sits on a throne, wears a crown, K-I-N-G, at gmail.com. In your subject line, you just put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get in contact with me about. Secondly, if you wish to get in contact with Ruth about her Bible prophecy, you would contact her by kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. That's K as King, J as Jackson, V as Victory, 1611, R as Randy, U as Umbrella, T as Tom, H as Henry, @gmail.com. Again, kjv1611ruth@gmail.com. In your subject line, put Bible prophecy. And thirdly, last but not least, if you wish to get a hold of Brother Six Eyes about any of his Six Eyes Music Studio Productions work, where you can get recordings made, whether album, commercial, etc., or if you wish to get donation information for the station here at the Six Eyes Radio Network, you contact him at sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, @gmail.com. in your subject line for him, you put what you're in reference that you're wanting to get a hold of him about, and in all three cases, body of your message, refer to your subject line, and we will not only read your message, but we will get back in contact with you. Amen. Enjoy great programming here on the Successor Radio Network 7 days a week by calling 424-243-9617 and 424-243-9617. Press the number one, join the conversation. And it all gets started here on Sunday for the Sunday Gospel Show. Get your praise on without leaving the house. 1 p.m. Eastern, 10 a.m. Pacific. On Monday, get motivated. Monday with Pastor Kenneth Bonnet, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Tuesday.
Take me to the King. I don't have much to breathe. My heart is torn in pieces. It's my offering.
Timothy Ruger takes the mics on the Word of the King on Six Eyes Radio, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 Pacific. Then on Wednesday, it's time for Bible study with the Wednesday Bible Study Show. And the Six Eyes Gospel Bus, brought to you by Holiness Bibles for the Blind at holinessbiblesfortheblind.org. With Missionary Ken and Ruth Wolfgang, with great music and scripture, 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 Pacific. Then on Thursday, Six Eyes Radio Network, the one and only program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network that could be felt, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, on Friday
with A.J. and the Squad.
With A.J. and the Squad, 9 p.m. Eastern, 6 Pacific, and last but not least, it's open programming on Saturdays. And now it is time for our Six Eyes Bible Memory Verse of the Week. This week we are going into Genesis chapter 14, verse 20. Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20.
And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand. And he gave him tithes of all.
All right, and we're going to hear that one more time.
And blessed be the Most High God, which hath delivered thine enemies into thy hand, and he gave them tithes of all.
And here we find, this was after Abraham came back from the slaughter of the kings, rescuing his brother Lot, and He was seeing King of Sodom, who was the priest of the Most High God, and he gave him tithes of all. Now, just a little clue. When you read Hebrews chapter 7, he gave him the spoils or the tithes of the spoil. Not, you didn't send somebody back to Hebron and get 10% of the tithes of what all he owned, only 10% or the tithe of the spoil. So we need to understand what he means by tithes of all. It was tithes of the spoil. So we find that in our six eyes. Bible memory verse of the week, Genesis chapter 14 and verse 20. Amen.
He was born in Bethlehem, a slave. There was a star to light the path to where he lay. Rich or poor, they came from far and near. They'd all heard the reason he was here. He was the Son God set to one and all, put on this earth to hang there on that cross, born to die. They wrapped him up with gentle hands. God hoped the world would understand. Eternal life we shall receive, and all that he asked in return is that we just believe. He was the Son God sent to one and all, put on this earth to hang there on that cross, born to die so we could live. He had the birthday we got to give. No way in this world could repay the miracle he gave us on that day. He was the Son God set to one and all, put on this earth to hang there on that cross.
Oh, my God.
Gloria, and they sent my company. And that same Brooklyn boy right back with me. But I left him there in a grave deep and cold. They just covered him up in his last foxhole.
Everything left to say,
I know only sorrow awaits me. When I've gone the last mile of the way, there are some things in life that money can't buy, and there's some things that words cannot say. I guess I always knew I couldn't satisfy you if I went every mile of the way. When I've gone the last mile of the way, when I've said everything left to say, I know only sorrow awaits me. When I've gone the last mile of the way, yes, I've gone the last mile of the way.
Where would this ship be?
for he has shown a light around me that I could clearly see. If it wasn't for the lighthouse, where would this ship be?
Hello, I'm Missionary Kenneth Wolfgang.
And I'm Emily Barnum.
And we're blind trucking in Ashtabula, Ohio.
Keep your hands on the wheel.
And your eyes on the road. And we
support
this program.
Here on the Six Eyes
Radio Network. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $ S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, again, $SIX. E-Y-E-S, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, sixeyes6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network, and once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. And now it is time for Tim Gruber and his Hebrew Word of the Week. Amen.
Hello there. Tim Gruber coming to you with this week's Hebrew Word of the Week. The word for this week is holy. And the Hebrew word for holy is kadosh, kadosh. K is in Kelly, A is in Adam, D is in Daniel, O, S, H, kadosh. It's holy. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1 through 5. In the end, I saw also the Lord sitting upon the throne high and lifted up his train filled the temple. Above it stood the seraphims. Each one had six wings. Between he covered his face, and between he covered his feet, and between he did fly. And one cried unto another and said, Holy, 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 kadosh, kadosh, kadosh is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the post of the door moved at the voice of him that cried, and the house was filled with smoke. Then said I, Woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for mine eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. As my prayer, dear listener, that if you have yet my faith, behold, your eyes spiritually, the King, the Lord of hosts, who is kadosh, 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 holy, 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 then you will. His holiness by faith, this day by the power of his spirit working in your heart, and that you will see yourself as you are apart from him, undone, unclean, and that you will look to him for the cleansing that comes through the holy, kadosh, blood of the Lamb, the Messiah of Israel, the Lord Jesus Christ, Lamb of God, who taketh away the sin of the world. Till next time, this is Brother Timothy Gruber saying, God bless you and yours.
Young girl to church, never spoke of his name, never read her his word. Two non-believers walk broken, lost in this world. Took their baby with them. What a sad little girl. Her daddy drank all day and mommy did drugs. Never wanted to play or give kisses and hugs. She'd watch the TV and sit there on the couch while her mom fell asleep and her daddy went out.
Love everybody, it's good enough for me. It was good.
good for Mom and Daddy. It was good for Mom and Daddy. It was good for Mom and Daddy. It's good enough for me. Pop him that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It was good for Paul and Silas. It's good enough for me. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. It was good for the Hebrew children. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. It will save you when you're dying. It will save you when you're dying. It will save you when you're dying. It's good enough for me. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It will take us all to heaven. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me. Give me that old-time religion. It's good enough for me.
I've got something kind of special I'd like to say to all you soul winners out there who might be listening right now. Also, a soul winner's prayer I'd like to pass along to you because I think it's kind of special too. But first, now there's a few things I've been wanting to say to you guys for a long time, and I think right now is a good time to do it. Like, did you know that me and just about everyone in gospel music who travels a lot have nothing but the highest respect for you, the soul winner, because it's a fact that some of the best Christians are soul winners, the most soul-minded, the most courteous, and the first to stop and tell the story of Jesus. And little things like warning people about hell. So you just got to be good people, like some I've had the pleasure of meeting, down-to-earth, hard-working family men, and a lot of you like our gospel music. That makes you okay in my book. Sounds like I'm blowing smoke, don't it? But I'm not. Because it boils down to this. If every Christian would be a soul winner like you guys are, there'd be a lot less people burning in hell than there is now. So soul winner, buddy, you're appreciated more than you'll ever know. And we salute you. Now this soul winner's prayer was given to me by a minister in SGB, Ohio. He found it at the blind school in Columbus, Ohio, where he attended. Now, this prayer means a lot to him, and I think it will you, too. So if you will, give a listen and see if it isn't your prayer, too. Dear God above, bless this soul I cry, and help me bring it alive. See my mortal sight this day on streets where sinful souls play. Bless my path to fast asleep when the night is long and deep. And keep our church safe and sound through the hours, big and round. Make our judgment sound as steel and be our hearts so we can feel. Bless the souls going past and teach them not to live so fast. Give me strength for every trip, so I may care for what I ship, and make me mindful every day that Jesus Christ, well, he is the way. Amen.
Yeah, I'm just ready to say heck with life and ready to feel like I'm feeling like I'd be better off 6 foot under.
You don't want to do that, Em. I don't know much about this.
Well, that's just how I'm feeling.
Well, if that's how you're feeling, you may call a friend. But remember, they're not professionals, and they may not know how to help you. It's better if you call the National Suicide Prevention Line at 1-800-273-8255. Again, that number is 1-800-273-8255. And this message has been brought to you by Six Eyes Radio Network.
Is U-Haul open? We got to get this stuff moved. I heard about a great hauling service called Blind Truck in the Vastabula.
Oh, yeah?
Yes. They must have been around for a while. I hear they haul light furniture, groceries. I even heard they hauled pets at one time.
Oh, my goodness.
Yes, so I'm going to give them a call. The number is 440-789-9411. And they do have a PayPal. I hear they don't charge a thing, but they do accept donations, so we got to help keep them on the road. Their PayPal is the number 2FOR, the number 1, Katie, K-A-T-I-E, at gmail.com.
Okay.
Yes. So we got to get this stuff moved, so come on now. That's Blind Trucking. All right. Let's do it. That's Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Blind Trucking of Ashtabula Hauling Service, 440-789-9411. All right, come on now.
All right.
Hey, baby. I will be there shortly. Hope you are there. Hope the food is ready. Can't wait. Never make dinner, never again, and several people won't make it home. Texting. It can wait. No texting while driving. Brought to you by Six Eyes Radio. This commercial was also brought to you by Blind Trucking of Ashtabula. Keep your hands on the wheel and your eyes on the road. Amen. All right, and for tonight, I want to bring a message, the first of a two-part series, about the golden image, where it is found in our churches. Amen. And tonight we're going to start with the scripture in Revelation chapter 3, verses 14 to the end of the chapter, which is verse 22, Revelation 13, verses 14 to 22. Amen.
And unto the angel of the church of Laodicea, write these things, saith the Amen, the faithful and the true witness, the beginning of the creation of God. I know thy works, and that thou art neither cold nor hot. I would thou wert cold or hot. So then, because thou art lukewarm, and neither cold nor hot, I will spew thee out of my mouth. because thou sayest, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, and knowest not that thou art wretched and miserable and poor and blind and naked, I counsel thee to buy me of gold tried in the fire, that thou mayest be rich, and white and raiment, that thou mayest be clothed, and that the shame of thy nakedness do not appear, and anoint thine eyes with eye salve, that thou mayest see. As many as I love, I rebuke and chasteneth. Be zealous, therefore, and repent. Behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man hear my voice and open the door, I will come in to him and will sup with him, and he with me. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches.
All right, so what do we hear here tonight? Some very interesting information. The last church of the last in the church age, known as the Laodicean Church, they had a problem. They had an image, a golden image. Notice first what their problem was. Their first biggest problem was they were lukewarm. Some people that were on fire for God, but yet they had others who were cold toward God. And you mix hot and cold water, what do you get? You get lukewarm water. And anybody drinks lukewarm water, enough of it, it just makes them sick. And God says, I'm going to spew you out of my mouth. I'm going to puke. Don't make me puke. Make me sick. Says about this church that they make him sick. And what makes them sick? What makes God sick about them? Not only that they're lukewarm, but what is their golden image? What was their golden image? Notice what it said. They said, we are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing. Now, how can a church get to that boasting point to say they are rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing? Think about it. How does a church get to the point of saying, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing? Do they get there by giving away their money to the poor? Do they get to the point of saying, I am rich and increased with goods and have need of nothing, by helping the widow and the fatherless. Nope. They don't. They get there by building big buildings, by having lots of fancy pews, by getting big donations in the offering plate, spending very little of it in their communities. That's how they get rich and increased with goods. They make a business of the church. They make a business of the church, making profit of what is supposed to be a non-profit entity. You cannot call yourself a non-profit and have money in the bank. Hello? You cannot be a non-profit and have credit cards. Hello? You cannot be a non-profit and own an airplane and use it for your own private use for your pastor. Sorry, but you're not a non-profit. You're for-profit. And I don't mean P-R-O-P-H-E-T. I'm not talking about a prophet that gives the word of God in advance of letting you know the future in advance before it happens. I'm talking about profit as in gaining money. Why? Because you're asking money of your people. Money, 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 and you dwell on the money. But God says, you're poor, you're blind, you're naked. Why don't you come to him and get gold tried in the fire of trials and temptations? Get white clothing, white garments, the righteousness of saints to cover your nakedness. And I said that you may be able to see your true state. Notice, he's talking to a church here. And he says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. If any man, individual, in that body, hears my voice, I will come into that individual, and he will sup with me, and I with him. But the thing is, they didn't listen, did they? How do I know this? It says, because, behold, whom I love, I rebuke and chasten. Be zealous, therefore, repent. He told them to repent. He counseled them to repent, but they didn't repent, so he had to rebuke and chasten her behind. Because they're so concentrated on money, money, money. Now, how do we know this? Well, next week we're going to prove it, that they have this money god, this golden image in their church. And in every church, you'll see this golden image. And they worship it just like Nebuchadnezzar wanted the people to worship his golden image. So as we wrap up here, we want you to remember, a church doesn't become for profit. They don't get rich and increase with goods by sitting there saying and boasting about that we're
rich and increase with goods. They don't get to that point by giving to the poor, by doing all kinds of other things for their community. They don't get to that point by having big bank accounts. They get that way because they run their church like a business. Amen. And now we'll move on with the show. Amen. All right, now it is time to see if Pastor Bonnet could tell us what the common message is between this song and this poem. Amen.
Lord, my soul is ripped with riot, incited by my wicked diet. We are what we eat, said the wise old man. And Lord, if that's true, then I'm a garbage can. I want to rise on Judgment Day, it's plain, but at my present weight, I'll need a crane. So grant me the strength that I may bear witness to the President's Council on Physical Fitness, and an oleo margin on matter, for the road to hell is spread with butter. And cream is cursed, and cake is awful, and Satan is hiding in every waffle. Beelzebub is a chocolate drop, and Lucifer is a lollipop. Give me this day my daily slice, but cut it thin and toast it twice. I pray each night with heavy prayers, deliver me from chocolate eclairs. And when my days of trial are done, and my war with malted milks is won, let me stand so proud with the saints in heaven in a shining robe, size 37. I can do it, Lord, if you show to me the virtues of lettuce and celery. If you'll teach me the evil of mayonnaise, the sinfulness of hollandaise, and pasta in milanaise, and potatoes a la linenaise, and crisp fried chicken from the south, Lord, if you love me, shut my mouth.
All right, Pastor Bonnet, now that you've heard that song and that poem, could you give us the common message between the two?
All right. I believe the common message between the two we need the Lord to hand us his word so that we'll be right. Otherwise, we junk food of the world, and I think if God don't feed us, the devil will feed us. So we need the Lord to keep feeding us his word so that we may grow spiritually. I had to put a scripture text to it, man, should not leave my bread alone, but by every word that can speak is out the mouth of God. So speak, Lord, that I may take away.
Well, this time, I'll take that one, or I would have taken Pray for God for Daily Bread. Since you mentioned this day our daily bread, I'll give it to you. Amen.
Okay, okay. Yeah, the Lord got to feed us. Amen. So we'll be right. All right. He that hungers and thirsts after the righteousness shall be filled. That's the scripture, bro. Thanks a lot, Ken. Thanks a lot. You're keeping me on the toes, man. You're keeping me on the toes.
All right. And now we'll continue with the program here on the Six Eyes Radio Network. Hallelujah. And now it is that time for Ruth and her Bible prophecy. Amen. When the beast shall walk among us, and many shall fall away. Famine, war, and desolation, they shall rise in against nation, trouble everywhere you turn. As in the time of Noah, in the days before the flood, sin will cool the love of many, and the streets will run with blood. Rape and murder, grief and sorrow, just like Sodom and Gomorrah, this world is gonna burn.
Tribulation.
I don't want to be here.
Tribulation.
when that flame it darkens down.
Tribulation.
When the seven seas are broken.
And the seven vials are open.
And the seven trumpets sound.
Is the God of the fifth sparrow. There's one particular verse in the Bible which has been a source of encouragement to me for more than a quarter of a century. It's found in the book of Luke. Are not five sparrows sold for 2 farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Luke 12:6 in the King James Version. In Bible times, sparrows were used for food. Luke tells us in his gospel that 5 of them were sold for 2 farthings. In Bible times, in the dead of winter, after the sparrows had been caged for several weeks and fattened for market, 2 of them could be bought for 1 farthing. If a customer purchased 4 sparrows at one time for 2 farthings, he received the 5th one absolutely free. The tremendous thought which had comforted me in times of the testing of my faith, where the Bible says God is conscious of even the 5th sparrow. Can't you see a flock of sparrows flying around your neighborhood? When suddenly from behind a house steps a boy with an air rifle, he takes deadly aim at the birds, and as he pulls the trigger, one of the little sparrows falls to the ground with a deadening thud. He lies there on his back with his little feet clutching the air as the other sparrows fly away, leaving him to die all alone. May I hasten to solemnly assure you, the Bible says, regardless that 5th sparrow and not one of them is forgotten before God, the thing which continually encourages me as I have been walking the pathway of faith these many long years, endeavoring to proclaim God's message on a worldwide scale, is that we Christians are of more value than many sparrows. Exactly what the Word of God says. But even the very hairs of your head are all numbered, meaning that God has all knowledge. Fear not, therefore, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Luke 12:7.
I want to scripturally show you that as a child of God, you have no justifying reason to distrust God or permit one little tiny seed of conflicting doubt to ever enter your heart and cause you to distrust the great God of the universe. If he's conscious and aware of the fifth sparrow, as the scripture tells us, he's mindful of your every need, and the word of God says, ye are of more value than many sparrows. Whether you know it or not, everything, including every commodity, every material substance, every human friend, should to encourage you, every ounce of protection, in fact, everything you'll ever need in this life was already provided for you before you ever came into this world. Every stitch of clothing, every crumb of bread, every drop of water, and a place to live in this life, as well as the life hereafter, were all prepared for you as a child of God before you were ever born into this old, sinful, wicked world. God asked Abraham to offer his own son Isaac as his offering on a mountain. There were three mountains in that particular location, but God told Abraham to take Isaac, his 17-year-old son, up the middle mountain, Mount Moriah, on which Jerusalem was later built, and also where God was one day going to offer up his only begotten son on the cross for the sins of mankind. In the account of this tremendous display of courage and faith in God, Abraham did not argue with God about either the three mountains being a little nearer or not quite so high as the others or easier to climb. The Bible tells us that Abraham went up to the middle mountain as God instructed him to do. As he neared the place of sacrifice with his son, the boy looked up into the eyes of his father, asking the profound question, "Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for a burnt offering?" Genesis 22:7. Would you please listen to the historical yet courageous answer Abraham gave to his son Isaac? "My son, God will provide himself a lamb for a burnt offering." Genesis 22:8. Abraham constructed an altar, placed the wood on it, and made all the necessary last-minute preparations. And Isaac was placed on the altar, and Abraham raised the knife to take the life of his 17-year-old son. But just as he was about to plunge the knife into the body of his only son, a voice from behind him said, "Lay not thine hand upon the lad, neither do thou anything unto him, for now I know that thou fearest God, seeing thou hast not withhold thy son, thine only son, from me." And behold, behind him, a ram caught in a thicket by his horns, and Abraham went and took the ram and offered him up for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. Genesis 22:12-13. You will note, God had a ram, a substitute, fastened by its horns in the thicket on the top of the middle mountain. There was only one ram fastened by his horns in a thicket on top of one mountain. Abraham did what God told him to do, and he came down the mountain with his son Isaac alive. A way of escape, a substitute, was provided before it was needed for Abraham and Isaac. As I said, every stitch of clothing, every crumb of bread, every drop of water, and a place to live in this life, as well as the life hereafter, were all prepared for you before you ever came into this world. In the days of Elijah, there was a great famine in the land. Elijah had asked God to shut up the heavens so there would be no rain until he prayed for it. Naturally, Elijah became conscious of his own physical, personal needs, and when he inquired of God, the word of God instructed him to get thee hence. Turn thee eastward, and hide thyself by the brook Cherith. But thou shalt drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to feed thee there. 1 Kings 17:3-4, KJV. You note, Elijah was instructed to the brook Cherith, not the Jordan River, but the brook Cherith, because God said, I have, past tense, commanded the ravens to feed thee there. God had already instructed the black plumed butcher and the black prune baker to feed a servant by the brook Cherith. Bible tells us that Elijah remained by the brook for approximately 18 months. And during that time, he no longer built a little shelter to protect himself from the weather, plenty of cold water to drink throughout the day, and the food provided mornings and evenings by the ravens. Elijah was sustained in a land of famine by the side of the brook Cherith. Scripture, and the ravens brought him bread and fish in the morning and bread and fish in the evening, and he drank of the brook. 1 Kings 17:6. For a year and a half, Elijah received his food from God, delivered to him by the ravens every morning and every evening, all supplied in advance because God had commanded the ravens to deliver his meals at a specific place by the brook Cherith. Shortly thereof, the brook dried up, and God came to Elijah with further instructions. Scripture, arise, get thee to Zarephath. I have commanded a widow woman there to sustain thee. 1 Kings 17:9. In the midst of a great drought and famine, when the whole countryside was suffering from a lack of the necessities of life, God sent his prophet to the home of a widow in Zarephath. As soon as Elijah arrived there, the first person he saw was a woman picking up firewood. She intended to go back to her home, cook which little meal she had left, eat it with her son, and then both lie down and die. Because there was no food left, please know that Elijah said to the woman, "Fear not, go and do as thou hast said. Make me thereof a little cake first, and bring it to me, and make for thee and thy son." 1 Kings 17:13. In other words, Elijah was saying to the woman, in a time of adverse circumstances, that she should trust the God of the fifth sparrow. Scripture, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Take therefore no thought for the morrow shall take thought of the things of itself." Matthew 6:33-34, KJV. I can imagine what the widow woman did exactly as Elijah instructed her, preparing a cake for him and bringing it into the dining room. I'm sure he ate it very readily because he was hungry, having taken a journey across country from the brook Cherith to Zarephath. Elijah had told her to make the cake and bring it to him, and after that make for thee and thy son. Well, I imagine she looked at that big, strong He-Man prophet with perplexity because she had just emptied the meal barrel with a cruse of oil in order to make a cake for him. So how was she going to be able to prepare anything for herself and her son? However, the inquisitiveness of this woman forced her to go back into the kitchen and looked into the meal barrel and the cruse of oil. Amazingly enough, she found both of them full. She told Elijah in her home as her special guest at the direction of the God of the fifth sparrow for 2 long years, and never once during the remainder of that great famine did they run out of meal or oil, praise the Lord. Scripture, and she went, and did according to the saying of Elijah, he and her house, her son, did eat many days. And the barrel of meal wasted not, neither did the cruse of oil fail, according to the word of the Lord, which he spake by Elijah. 1 Kings 17:15-16, KJV. God supplies in advance. He supplied for Abraham by having, as a substitute for Isaac, a ram on the top of the middle mountain. He supplied for Elijah by the brook Cherith when the ravens brought him food. He supplied for Elijah, the woman and her son, because on his wise providence, in his overall plan, he intended to have a full meal barrel and a full cruse of oil in the house of the widow of Zarephath during the great famine of Elijah's day, which lasted for 3.5 years. There's a basic rule in the Bible which must be adhered to if we are to draw from the heavenly bank all of the necessary blessings we need in this physical life. It's a very simple little rule, and if we follow it to the letter upon the authority of God's word, the God of the fifth sparrow will meet every need regardless of what sort it is. "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." That is Matthew 6:33 in King James Version. If you want steam, all you have to do is go to meet the necessary conditions. You'll build a fire, get a container, put water in it. You put the container filled with water on the fire, and after a little while, when the fire gets hot and the water begins to boil, you have steam, simply because you met the conditions necessary for making steam. Do you want life, food, shelter, clothing, finances, or power with God? Then meet the conditions. Accept Jesus Christ as your Savior and live according to the directions laid down in the Bible, and you'll receive everything you need in this life and the life hereafter. What more could a person in his right mind ask for? There are 3 positive promises from God's word. "Ask and it shall be given you." Matthew 7:7. "Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you." John 16:23. "And whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do." John 14:13. The God of the fifth sparrow will meet any need any of his children have at any hour of the day, providing that individual is living according to the blueprint laid down Bible for born-again Christians. Scripture, "But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." Matthew 6:33. Simon Peter had an experience, so much of which some of you may have had in your lifetime. Peter the apostle received a tax notice demanding payment of his taxes. He was upset because he didn't have the money to pay his taxes, and the only way he thought he could get money, since he was a fisherman, was by fishing. Christ understood him perfectly and saw the hopeless perplexity of Peter's mind. In order that Peter may pay his taxes, Christ told him to go down to the sea, get a pole and a line, and put a hook on it. There's not one word in the Bible telling him to put bait on the hook, because in this circumstances, God wanted to get the glory, so he told Peter to put a hook on the line and cast it out into the water, and he would have his tax money when he opened the mouth, first fish he would catch.
Can't you see Simon Peter, the big fisherman, slowly walking down the main drag of the city with a fishing pole over his shoulder and the line wrapped around the pole with a hook on it, but with no bait? He was a commercial fisherman, and he must have somewhat been embarrassed, but he did exactly what Christ told him to do. Here's the scripture: go thou to the sea and cast the hook, and take up the fish that first cometh up, and when thou hast opened his mouth, thou shalt find a piece of money, that take and give unto them the tax gatherers for me and thee. Matthew 17:27. Please note the fundamental principle. The sixth chapter of Matthew is incorporated here in the 17th chapter of the same book, because the sixth chapter tells us that you seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Matthew 6:33. Jesus told Peter, thou shalt find a piece of money in the mouth of the fish, and take and give unto them the tax collectors for me. Put God first and thee. If necessary, the God of the fifth sparrow will help you pay your taxes, be sure you give him the glory. The God of the fifth sparrow is conscious of your every need, and he wants to supply these needs as the circumstances present themselves. Don't try to take some glory for yourself. Don't pat yourself on the back and say, boy, I sure am smart, or I have above average intelligence, or I'm sure some clever duck. Give all the glory and the honor to the God of the fifth sparrow. Please remember, nothing is impossible with God. A young man who loved the Lord with all his heart endeavored to watch his budget so he could live as economically as possible. In order to give more liberally to the Lord's book, he had been praying for some time that God would give him a better job so he might have more money and to invest in the getting out of the gospel message. One day he received an offer of a job as nearly twice the salary he was then receiving. He worked at his present job for some time, so before giving or going to his new employment, he decided to take a vacation and rest. On his vacation with no salary coming in, since he had resigned from his old job, he became violently ill and had to be rushed to the hospital in the middle of the night. The hospital authorities wanted to know what arrangements the young man could make to meet his large hospital expenses. He asked the hospital administrator to please step out of the room for a moment and give him complete privacy. He began to pray about the matter, and near the end of the prayer, a gentle knock sounded on the door of his room, and a nurse came with a letter for him. It came a sizable sum of money. He was completely surprised at this gift from an unknown donor. During his hospital stay, 1,200 gifts came through the mail at his hospital room, every one of them unasked for, and they amounted to over $1,500. He paid his hospital bill and took an additional month for recuperating. His new employer held his new job open for him, and he reported to work with money in his pocket. Praise the Lord. When this story was related to a certain person some time ago, that person said, oh, that just happened. I asked the question, why did it happen to that young man before? It never happened again. Why is it that the help which was so badly needed and which dire circumstances demanded that he have it at that moment never came to him before? Why did it come at the very psychological moment he needed it most? I'll tell you why. Help came at the very moment it was the God of the fifth sparrow supplying his every need. Some time ago, while visiting with a family, the wife said she was embarrassed because she was unable to tithe. She related how the rather normal salary her husband received was not sufficient to take care of all the needs of the family, at the same time provide a tithe for the work of God. She knew of a minister carrying on a worldwide work through the printed page and over the airlines, and she was somewhat relieving her conscience because she wasn't able to contribute to the work. If you as an individual take your check, whether it be your weekly, your semi-monthly, or your monthly one, and you live out of it first, you'll never have any tithe left over for God. But if you take God's tithe out first, the 90% left will go much farther than 100% went before. I challenge anyone who does not tithe to begin a systematic 30-day period of taking God's tithe out of his paycheck first and giving it to the work of God, not keeping it back in a secret fund as a rainy day bridge to help him over a flood of circumstances, but giving it to God's work first and then live out the remainder 90%. You'll find that you'll get along much better, and you'll be surprised how far the 90% goes. You see, we're not serving some mysterious ethereal power that is a billion miles away, hiding behind some cloud bank up in the sky. You're serving, and we are serving, the God of the fifth sparrow. When Abraham went up the middle mountain, he was at safe placing Isaac on an altar of sacrifice as if he had left him home in bed, because on the top of the middle ram fastened by its horns in the thicket as a substitute sacrifice. Thank God. Abraham obeyed God and went up the middle mountain. Instead of the first or the third mountain, the God of the fifth sparrow was up on top of the middle mountain providing for Abraham and Isaac. The God of the fifth sparrow was there by the brook Cherith with Elijah. The God of the fifth sparrow was in the little village of Zarephath, keeping the meal barrel and the cruse of oil filled to the brim for 2 long years. While beside the suffering from a great famine. The God of the fifth sparrow was there beside the Sea of Galilee when Peter threw in the hook and caught the fish which supplies the money for the taxes of Jesus Christ and Peter. The God of the fifth sparrow took care of the young man who was in the hospital unemployed between jobs, having had 3 major operations and a big hospital bill to pay. The God of the fifth sparrow will supply every need of every one of you if you will do what the Word of God instructs you to do. Allow me to show you how to get things you need. First of all, everything we possess in this life came to us in 1 of 3 different ways. 1, we earned it. 2, we stole it. Or 3, it was given to us. Let me ask you these questions. Can you earn the miracle of God? No. Can you steal the miracles of God? No. Then there's only one you could possibly secure the miracles or blessings of God for you. So that's how they must be given to you by the God of the fifth sparrow. That's why the Bible says, ask and it shall be given you. Or if you do not receive after you've asked, then the Bible says you're to go a step further. The Word of God says that so doing, seek and you shall find. After you've asked and sought, but still haven't received what you've needed, then the Bible says you're to take the third step and knock and it shall be open unto you. Sometimes God wants to see how badly we desire a particular thing. Sometimes God wants to see how preserving we may be in relative to a particular object of our desires. And he puts us through the 3-step process of getting our needs by having to ask, seek, and knock. When a person is ill, he believes in a physician, so he places the needs of his body in the hands of that physician and trusts him to prescribe a cure. We believe in a lawyer when we put a particular legal problem in his hands and trust him to intercede for us. We believe in the banker when we put our money and we go back from the bank after making a deposit with absolute assurance that our money is safe. We believe the bank will guard our money or our valuables and keep our property secure from any thief who might attempt to steal it. You are aware many of us are falling short in this life is that we fail to understand that we have 2 lives to live, 1 here and 1 hereafter. I ask the average Christian person how much food, how much clothing, how much money he has laid up in reserve for the ever-ending life over there. And invariably, he will tell me nothing. I say to such a person, what are you going to do with the life hereafter? Practically every time a person like that will say he's going to trust God for the life hereafter. Now, mind you, he doesn't have any food laid up for the life hereafter or clothing, nor has he made provision for any other needs he might have. He's going to trust God for his needs over there. Well, then, I ask you, my dear friends, if you could trust God for the never-ending life and for the forever every need in eternity, why can't you trust the God of the fifth sparrow to supply everything you need in this life? My dear listener, we're marching down the highway of life. Many of us have passed the millstone on life's highway that indicates the highest point, and we're showing descending toward the river of death. It's lovely to be growing old when you have the rejuvenating influence of the Lord Jesus Christ, when you see the axemen of death hewing down a whole force of strength and beauty, and you've left standing alone in the midst of your solitude, since you need the dove of divine mercy to sing in your branches. When your eyesight begins to fail, it's grand to have the vision of an erring faith. When you have to cup your hands around your ears to pick up the voices of friends, it's wonderful to have the strong voice of the one altogether lovely reiterate in unmistakable tones, "Lo, I am with you always, even unto the end." When you're getting old and feeble and you recover from a cough or quickly as you once did, you trip over mats and rugs very easily. I tell you, it's glorious to have the beneficent right hand of the Lord Jesus Christ to hold you up, sustain you in the hour of weakness and human frailty. When you come to the end of this life and you lay your head on your pillow for the very last time, it's so comforting to have Christ there to make all your bed in your sickness. Christ there to make the bitterness out of the cup. Christ to sack the thorn. Christ to turn your darkness into eternal daylight. Christ to help the soul out of the sick body. Christ on the shore. Christ in the middle of the stream. Christ on the farther shore. Christ to wipe all tears from your eyes forever, and Christ to show you your beautiful mansion. Oh, friend of mine, why can't you trust the God of the fifth sparrow for the necessary things of this life? When you come to the end of this life, when you bid your earthly loved ones and friends goodbye on this shore, there's nothing to worry about in the future because you're trusting in the God of the fifth sparrow. Let's remember that Christ walked out of the grave of Gethsemane's garden. If you and I have Christ, we will also walk out of our graves. Nothing can keep us there. Christ fought the fight of death, and he gained the victory. The glorious flag of resurrection floats over all the graves of the righteous. Heaven has conquered hell. Satan failed in his attempt to capture the ramparts of God. Christ is seated on the throne of God. Beloved, you're not in a prison house guarded by Satan. You've passed from death into life. You're a son of the God of the fifth sparrow. Scripture. Are not five sparrows sold for two farthings, and not one of them is forgotten before God? Fear not, therefore. Ye are of more value than many sparrows. Luke 12, 6 and 7, King James Version. We serve the God of the fifth sparrow. Next lesson will be angels.
Hey, you can enjoy the Six Eyes Radio Network. Just call 424-243-9617. Would you like to help keep shows like this one on the air? Well, there are several methods you can do to help that happen. First off, if you're a PayPal user, go to paypal.com and enter the following email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. If you're a Cash App user, go to Cash App, enter $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, again $SIXEYES, digit 2, digit 4, and in both cases, you enter the dollar amount of your love gift, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much, and God will richly bless you. Also, if you wish to send a check or money order to the Six Eyes Radio Network, contact Brother Six Eyes at his email address, 6i6@gmail.com. That's S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. Again, S-I-X-E-Y-E-S, digit number 6, at gmail.com. In your subject line, write donation information requested. In the body of your email, request the information for the pay to and snail mail information for your check or money order, explaining you wishing to send a check or money order to donate to the Six Eyes Radio Network. And once again, God will richly bless you, and we here at the Six Eyes Radio Network thank you very, very much. All right, and Sister Emily, who do we got with us?
Naturally, the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, band angels, you, me, Rue, and our favorite Smurf chaser, my daddy.
Okay.
I love you, daddy.
All right. And so Ruth mentioned there was some prayer requests we missed.
Could you carefully bring them to me, Rue?
All right. Because we don't want to miss those that we had.
Clifford Clark.
A gentleman named Clifford Clark and his family.
Betty.
My daughter, my son, and my ex-sister-in-law, Betty, Donnie, and Rhonda. And they're all special unspoken.
Okay. So we just wanted to make sure those got out there for our listeners to be praying over. And, of course, we know all the other main prayer requests that we gave at the beginning of the show for first responders and people in nursing homes and hospitals are people in authority and that kind of thing, and our police officers. Amen.
Also, Kenny, I have a special unspoken for myself.
Okay. And so, with that, we're going to be nice enough to ask Emily to give us a closing prayer, and we'll be out of here tonight.
Oh, you're not going to twist my arm tonight there again?
No, I'll just ask you real nice.
Okay, since you're not twisting, I'll do it. And Six, I'm only joking if you're out there listening, big brother. Lord, I thank you for this broadcast tonight, and Lord, I ask that everything and anything we did here tonight is pleasing in your sight. I ask you for all these prayer requests, Lord, that you'd be with each one, give them a special touch as only you can. I ask you to be with me and Missionary Ken and Sister Ruth that we can get done what we need to do. I also ask you to be with my mother who's in a nursing home and my daddy who's in one for rehab, to be with both of them as they can grow stronger in you, Lord. I ask this all in your name. Amen.
Amen. And I want to welcome everybody as well tomorrow night to the Jumbo Braille Program, 9 p.m., here only on the Success Radio Network. The one and only program on the Success Radio Network that can be felt. And we'll be having Dr. Quick in the house with us once again tomorrow night. We welcome everybody and ask you to join us. Amen. God bless everybody. Good night.
God bless. Good night.